Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com or Corlin Economics Report if you're searching us in your podcast listener. Now, I know, we turned the corner, Labor Day's behind us. Well, I think a lot of people thought that markets would get a whole lot more interesting after Labor Day. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of sectors. One could argue almost every sector still more or less stuck within their ranges, but again, this week, shortened trading week. One thing we did a lot this week was get a lot of company updates because there was a lot of news that was announced coming out of Labor Day. Plus, we also talked to a lot of analysts and got their insights on what they use in terms of different metrics, different technicals to guide their trading approach. That's where we're going to start off in this show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago and editor of the Lion Share. Now, Dana, we have you on about every 2 weeks, but what we usually talk about, and even what you outline in all of our interviews, is the internal models that you use. Now, again, these are models that you and, well, your group has built, and it comes down to the fact that you don't put emotions in these models. You simply read the models and let them dictate where the markets could be going and different sectors. Can you give us a little bit more information on the types of models that you use and some of the key features within those, please?
Yeah, sure, Corey. So I think the first point is that the importance of the reliance on data, you know, objective, quantitative data or quantitative like decision making points, as opposed to, you know, subjectivity or narratives or your gut, for example. So the more data based and quantitative and objective your system can be, the more reliable it is and the more confidence you can have in it. So when people ask me what do I read and what do I base my, you know, our investment outlook on, we don't read anything except data. You know, the data is not going to be subject to, you know, a bias or subject to any sort of a narrative. It's going to be flat out, you know, data and objective. And it's how you put that data together, obviously, that, you know, it determines the effectiveness of your model. So the data that we've pretty much whittled down over the decades as having the most effectiveness and the most importance in the way that we manage money, which is first and foremost, we're equity managers. So we're managing equities. We're first and foremost stock managers. So we do manage and trade other markets. On pretty much any markets, but that's based more on technicals and sometimes on relative strength based models. But when it comes to the equity market, what we have found to be the most useful in terms of guiding our direction and our allocation is breadth. You know, what is the level of participation in a rally, for example? Studies have shown that 70-80% of the determinant of the direction of a particular stock is based on the direction of the overall market. So it doesn't matter how good or poor a company can be. If you're trying to buck the trend of the overall market, you're not going to be successful in the long run. So if we're in a raging bull market and you're trying to short, it can be a terrible company. You're probably going to lose money because the stock's probably going to go up. And same thing on the downside. If we're in a bear market, you could be buying the best company in the world. You're probably going to be losing money because of the direction of the market, the overall market. So we try to first and foremost, from a top-down basis, figure out where the overall market is heading, and we want to align our investment posture as much as possible with that. So if our model's telling us that the majority or the broad market is going up, then we can be more aggressive, and then we go to another model, a relative strength-based model, and that helps guide us where we want to concentrate most of our money. But if, like it's been over the last 4 or 5 months or so, and our model says that the overall market is moving down, or there's substantial risk in the market, then we want to be a little bit less aggressive. And some folks may say, point to the fact that, you know, the major averages have been hitting new highs over the last several months. Well, if you look at some of the broad averages, the value line geometric, for example, it measures the median stock in the market. It's basically been going sideways for the last 6 months or so. So we don't think, you know, necessarily we're at a major top. There's going to be a huge bear market or anything, but just a time to be a little bit less aggressive, more of a trading market like we've been talking about over the last, you know, really several months, and a little bit more risk at hand, especially a seasonality here in September being a seasonally weak period of the year. And once maybe a little bit more of a washout here, then we can put in a tradable low and maybe embark on another leg up in the broader markets. But for the last several months, like we've talked about, and continuing right now, we see more risk in the market here in the short term before, again, maybe that good tradable low and a sustainable breakout and up leg.
Well, Dane, I know that you're an active trader and you manage your portfolio based on the quantitative information as well as the technical analysis, but just maybe diving into it a bit more. Let's say you're going into a position in an ETF. When do you know that it's the right time to buy? What kind of indicators are you looking for technically or quantitatively? And then when do you know it's a good time to sell and or short a position?
Sure. So again, there are multi factors that go into this. First, what is our overall risk model saying? Is it bullish? Are we on a sell signal or a buy signal? If we're on a buy signal, then we want to be buying more aggressively. Then we go to the next component, which is a relative strength model. So we don't believe in diversifying across like all sectors of the market. We believe in, which in our studies just dilutes performance. What we want to do is concentrate our portfolio in those areas of the market that are performing best. So we have a quantitative model that uses a heavy component of or takes a heavy input from risk-adjusted return into the ranking. So we want to find areas of the market that are performing very well on a risk-adjusted basis. That's how we pick out. That's how we typically select or get a heads up on some of the better performing sectors in the market that might be viable targets for us. From there, we go to kind of pinpointing, you know, entry points and exit points. From that point, we go to charts, and we like to buy high relative strength areas, areas that overall are performing the best and are in uptrends. We like to buy them in pullbacks, so we like to buy them at good risk reward entry points. And again, from that standpoint, we use a lot of charting techniques, different Fibonacci techniques for buying mean reversion, buying at mean reversion spots in trending markets. So I guess you would call it a trending philosophy, but in terms of finding entry and exit points, we like to use like mean reversion tactics. And again, a lot of that is Fibonacci based. We use some moving averages to determine, you know, the exact entry and exit points.
All right, guys, we're out of time for this first segment on the radio, but Dana, we're going to have you back on next segment. We're going to talk a bit more in the actual markets, some of the trades that you are making right now. One other thing to note is that on Dana's website, the Lion's Share, he was running a long weekend special, 25% off. He has offered to extend that to our listeners. All you have to do is email me, flex@kereport.com, and I will forward that on to Dana. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Weekly.
fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. Now, Dana, last segment we talked a lot about your strategy, what you use to base some of your investment decisions off of. Now it's time to focus on markets. Let's start off with the U.S. equity markets. U.S. equity markets had a bit of a bad week. They're down, still not down a full percent, but it was kind of day after day of selling that came into the markets. Again, not a waterfall decline by any means, and not even down to that 50-day moving average that seems to be support over the last 6-plus months. But something that we have talked about, look, breadth continues to be very weak in these markets, but yet the markets still tend to have this buy-the-dip mentality. What's your takeaway? What's your updated thoughts on these markets, please?
Yeah, you know what? Oh, it's kind of like a broken record. We've been talking about it for several months, but we've had this directionless trade. We've been in what we call a two-way market or a trading range market. So basically, we've been just trading the market, you know, buying the dips, but also selling the rips, not getting too aggressive, not expecting home runs, not expecting, you know, sustainable breakouts or breakdowns. But, you know, when things pull back to a decent entry point, put your money to work, but don't be afraid to take profits into a bounce. So that's basically how it's been in the equity market as well as most markets. And I think one major area of concern, as I alluded to our reliance on breadth earlier, is that at the series of new highs and major averages over the last several months, we've seen pretty much a non-confirmation in terms of breadth. So we haven't seen, you know, the broad market of stocks really keep up at hitting new highs along with the major averages. So that typically is a precursor to more of a correction or a sell-off and some sort of at least digestive action like we've seen prior to, you know, more of a sustainable bottom and a sustainable up move. So I think that's still underway. I think we get more of that corrective action and add to the mix in addition to that, in addition to some complacent investor sentiment, add to the fact that we're in the most negative seasonal period of the year in September for stocks. This is the we're right in the meat of the most negative seasonal period. So that is another kind of a slight headwind. It's never the most important factor for us, but it certainly is a factor, especially right now when it is the most, you know, consistently negative portion of the year. So that's one more reason just to be a little bit more cautious here over the next several weeks or month or so. And expect more downside action. So we'd love to see some kind of a washout here over the next several weeks or months, and would not be surprised to put in some kind of a nice tradable bottom that would be, you know, probably the springboard for another move to new highs and more of a sustainable up move, at least in the intermediate term.
Well, Dana, off mic, you'd mentioned that you have two counter trend trades on right now in both bonds and oil. So just walk us through those trades and what you're looking at in both of those.
Yeah, sure. So we bought bonds, long term. We are bearish on bonds. We think interest rates go up for many years or decades even. But in the short term, you know, nothing goes in a straight line. So we've been bullish in the short term on bonds, and we think we're getting another decent entry point right now in the long bond, specifically TLT. So if you're looking at TLT on the chart, we bought it today down in the 148 and change level around 148.30 or 50. We think there's upside from there if it can hold that spot, maybe up towards 157 and change if you're looking on the yields, specifically on the 30-year yield. We're seeing perhaps some resistance around call it 194 or so, and that opens up downside if it does. If it's unable to get above there, then we could see downside at least to the recent lows in July around 178, and then potentially down around 167 or so before perhaps embark on another up move in yields, which again we think is going to happen over the long term. But you know, like I said, nothing goes in a straight line. So right here, we think we have an opportunity from a decent risk reward standpoint buying bonds.
So Dana, big picture here, it sounds like, look, we look at the U.S. equity markets, we might see some weakness there. Outside of that small cap growth, it's all playing into kind of the same set. So bonds also might get a bit of a bounce if we do see that weakness in the U.S. markets. This to me maybe speaks to a more defensive trade coming back into the market. Do you think this is a fair, broad comment to ask? And if you do see kind of a defensive trade, where does that money flow outside of bonds? Do you see any other opportunities in some of these so-called safer assets?
I think it all fits together into a perhaps a defensive mode, at least over the next month or so, which would coincide with what our risk model is telling us. It would coincide with negative seasonality. It would coincide with, you know, the bullish short-term setup in bonds, like you mentioned, and some of the resistance still out there, and not only in equity land, but crude oil, like we mentioned. Cryptocurrencies have resistance above, although they have pulled back into potentially some short-term support areas. But it does speak to at least some caution, some elevated risk conditions here in the short term. So where does money go? Maybe in the bonds, maybe on the short side of the market. So we do have hedges on right now in our equity portfolio. Some of those areas that we've been short, some of the lagging areas of the market, including, you know, actually the broad small cap space. So we're happy to be short the broad small caps against the long position in the small cap growth. We also have a hedge on in the materials sector. As I mentioned, energy and crude oil has been lagging. That's another area for potential hedge or short. But whatever it is, I think the main point right now is just keep your exposure low, keep your net exposure low, raise some cash or hold a fair amount of cash, wait for a more opportune time from a risk reward standpoint for getting more aggressive, and then kind of swinging for the fences. As I mentioned, we've been hitting singles and doubles here, and I think that continues here over the next couple weeks or month before we can start trying to get more aggressive again.
All right, Dana, always interesting comments, buddy. And I have to say, look, your approach, your models have been pretty much spot on for at least the last year, especially post-election, when a lot of people were pointing to a top in markets. And again, that just hasn't come. These markets keep on moving higher, but you are starting to see a bit of weakness, and even your models are saying that there could be some weakness here. But again, big picture thoughts and some of those short-term trading strategies that I think should be noted. Again, if you want that special 25% discount to the lion's share, all you have to do is email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will put you in touch with Dana. Dana, thanks for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, buddy.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
A somber day for President Biden. He's commemorating the 20th anniversary of 9/11 Saturday with visits to New York City, Arlington, Virginia, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Biden addressing the nation Friday night in a pre-recorded video, praising those who volunteered to punish those responsible.
The 9/11 generation stepping up to serve and protect in the face of terror, to get those terrorists who are responsible. To show everyone seeking to do harm to America that we will hunt you down and we will make you pay. And that will never stop. Today, tomorrow, ever, from protecting America.
He has 9/11 brought out acts of heroism and unity. USA Radio recalling 9/11 with reaction from that day as events unfolded. President George W. Bush addressing the attack that morning.
Today we had a national tragedy. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
Bush first learning of the attack while reading to second graders at his school in Sarasota, Florida. This is USA Radio News. 20 years after 9/11, the Taliban and al-Qaeda still threaten the U.S. Condoleezza Rice was national security advisor under President George W. Bush when the attack happened. She tells NBC News about the difficulties we'll face with the Taliban back in charge of Afghanistan.
We're going to have to work awfully hard with no eyes and ears on the ground, no intelligence assets on the ground. We're going to have to work awfully hard to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And I don't think that it's necessarily even within our power, because the Taliban will decide how closely associated it becomes with al-Qaeda.
Rice says one improvement from 9/11 is that intelligence agencies are better at sharing information with each other. An apparent act of brutality in Afghanistan. The sound of gunfire coming from a video on social media Saturday reportedly showing Taliban fighters executing an unarmed prisoner. Meanwhile, the Taliban ordering all male employees to return to work tomorrow. Female employees, though, ordered to stay home until a proper work environment is provided. This is USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are going to continue to focus here more or less on the precious metals as we are chatting with Brian London, the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is happening next month. And, well, barring more travel restrictions or something, I am hoping to see you down there, Brian, but we'll keep everybody up to speed on that. Now, Brian, when it comes to the precious metals sector, look, it's been slow. It has been slow for this whole summer, but at least in the last couple months, rather than gold drifting lower like it did for about a year heading up to, well, last month, we've more gone sideways here, right around 1800. We've had a couple days and a couple weeks of some volatility, but it seems like very quickly gold just reverts right back to around that 1800 level. We're seeing a little bit more weakness this week, but again, there's some pretty key resistance and support levels that continue to hold. Big picture, Brian, where do you see the next catalyst coming from? Where do you see gold going? Are we in for another longer-term correction? Do you see a bounce coming? Give us your broad thoughts on the sector, please.
Yeah, you know, Corey, the headline of my last newsletter was, the only thing uncertain about gold's next rally is the timing. And only in retrospect did I realize what a cop-out that was. but I really think that we're approaching a turnaround in gold and silver and the mining stocks. It just depends on what everyone is watching, not just gold investors and mining stock investors, but equities, bonds, everybody is focused on the Fed and what they're going to do next and when they're going to do it. And that is the catalyst everybody's looking for. So yeah, the turnaround on gold depends really on the Fed, what they say at this week, this month's meeting on September 22nd. Whether they announce a timeline for tapering at that point or whether they punt down the road a bit, kick the can down the road. And then beyond that, when and if they can ever begin hiking rates again. I don't think that they're going to be able to hike rates at all. I certainly don't think they're going to be able to hike rates much at all before they get turned back by the markets. But I think it's pretty likely that the markets are going to prevent the Fed from getting very far down even the road to tapering. They may announce it, they may start pulling it back, but at some point the stock market is going to throw a hissy fit and the Fed is going to pull back again and get startled and afraid and yield to their masters, which are the equity and bond markets at this point. So yeah, it all depends on the Fed, and I think that this month's meeting coming up is going to be pivotal. Even if they don't do anything, that in fact, at this point, is an affirmative move, an action, an event, even if they just kick the can down the road, because everyone is expecting them to at least address the issue in some fashion. So I think that's the near-term potential catalyst for the metals. And I'm fairly positive that it's going to be a bullish one for the metals.
Yeah, Brian, there's no doubt that the Fed policy, whether people are sick of hearing about it or not, it is still a central focus for almost every market, whether it's the bond market, the general equities, or the commodities. And whether or not they have to punt a little bit further and move the tapering back and move the tightening back just remains to be seen. But you brought up something else there, that the market could have a hissy fit, you know, a.k.a. a taper tantrum. Do you think that having a market correction would also be a positive for gold? We hear often that there's not going to be interest in our sector until more generalists come over from, you know, maybe a sell down in the general markets and then maybe start coming over to gold as a safe haven. Do you think that would actually help the precious metals markets, or would it just take it down with it?
Well, it would take it down with it if there's a liquidity vacuum, as we've seen in the past, at least over the short term. Some people that whose views I really respect feel that a stock market bear market is a prerequisite for a gold bull market. I'm not so sure about that. I think that all the markets right now are driven by central bank liquidity. I think that the stock market will go roaring back after a correction if the Fed starts opening up the monetary spigots once again. And I think, I know the Fed is going to do that. The Fed cannot afford to have the financial house of cards it's built after essentially two decades of unprecedented, ever easier monetary policy. It can't afford to have that house of cards come tumbling down. So economically, politically, it just won't happen. So we would see, in my view, the stock market come roaring back very quickly once the Fed got the message. But I think that gold and tangible assets and equities can do well alongside of each other in that kind of an environment and in an inflationary environment. They've done it before, and they can do it again.
Brian, since we are talking about central banks, I know the focus is on the Fed. The Fed does carry arguably the heaviest hand out there out of all the central banks around the world. Do you care? Are you paying attention to what other central banks are doing?
Yeah, obviously I do, but I think they all move in concert to some degree. You know, every major currency out there is devaluing against every other currency out there, and sometimes they lead the others in the race to devalue. Sometimes they fall behind, but they're all racing to the bottom of the same hill. So they can't gain an advantage, and no advantage is allowed over the other currencies, or no significant advantage. So they really can't do that, gain any kind of a trade advantage by devaluing in a vacuum as they used to historically. Now they're all going in the same direction. So what do you do as an investor? Well, you invest in things that will leverage that trend. And typically, that's tangibles, primarily gold and silver as the monetary metals, but really any real assets. That's what you need to be in this kind of an environment. And a macro trend that really doesn't appear to have any ending point right now.
So, Brian, considering these type of markets that we are in and the new generation of investor that has come in, the younger generation, they seem to have a bias for, let's say, other assets to maybe take per some sort of protection. Or quite frankly, look, the younger generation doesn't quite have that same love for gold that the older generation does, especially in North America. Do you see some alternatives such as the cryptocurrencies or anything else that could take some of that shine away from gold just because it's a different investor with different thoughts, a different mentality on the markets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's already happened. But I think the demand that cryptos have stolen from gold is the speculative demand. I don't think it's the store of wealth, safe haven, put away and forget about it, wealth insurance kind of demand that gold also offers. It is the speculative demand, and I think it has hurt gold. Having that option to steal away a lot of potential investor flows into the metal. And I think that will continue. But if there's one thing that the younger crowd has shown us is that they do invest on whatever the hot trend is. And we've certainly seen gold and silver and mining stocks become the hot trend before. And I think it's really just an evidence that there's so much more money out there now than what we saw, say, in the early 90s, what we saw in the early 2000s, as far as these kinds of roaring, you know, just red hot bull markets in junior mining stocks, because they started to attract generalist investors. Now there's much more generalist money out there on the sidelines that if it was trying to get into this very small, relatively small market, would catapult prices so much higher so quickly. So I think what we're seeing really is a sign of what could happen in the metals, and not necessarily something that's kind of dooming it to a sideshow in the investment markets.
Brian, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Welcome back, continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are here to wrap up this first hour. Chad and I are chatting with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger on a lot of the metals-focused blogs out there. Now, Robert, you've been coming on the show on a fairly regular basis right now, sharing really a wide range of comments on a wide range of commodity sectors, and we are going to focus on different metal sectors here, but first and foremost, you are down, actually, at the conference, as we are recording this in Beaver Creek. Unfortunately, I could not make it this year due to kind of the complex travel restrictions that Canada has. But I wanted to get your initial takeaway from the conference down there. I have heard that attendance is a little bit less than where it had been in the last few years. That's understandable because of the complexities of traveling right now. But in terms of major themes that you're hearing, Robert, and different topics that seem to be on the front of mind of the attendees and the companies there, what are you hearing? What's important to know about what people are talking about on the showroom floor?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, it's great to chat here, you know, from Colorado. It's beautiful weather up here at Beaver Creek. The conference is fantastic. Yeah, you're right. You know, the attendance is a little lighter than a couple years ago, probably a few hundred people less in person. But the, you know, virtual, you know, hybrid format works, you know, very well. I would say that, you know, sentiment is kind of mixed, you know, to be quite honest. I think a lot of people are a little bit cautious just because of how tough the, you know, year has been. The companies are carrying out their programs, they're all advancing projects. Most companies are very well funded. So, you know, some cautious optimism, you know, as much as I hate to use that overused expression, but that's really what it is. In 2019, it was a bull market conference. Everybody was really optimistic and bullish and positive. This has a slightly more cautious flavor to it. And, you know, some of the common themes talking to, you know, the CEOs across the sector is that, you know, costs are up a lot over the last year, cost of labor, cost of equipment. You know, basically, if you name it, you know, like an input cost in the mining industry, the prices are up over the last year. Very hard to source skilled labor for a lot of companies. Some companies can't even get a team to run their, you know, drill rigs or at least not all of the rigs that, you know, that they have on the project. And then of course we have the assay lab, turnaround times, which basically are between 2 and 3 months. I think 2 months is on the more optimistic side. I think 3 months is really what we're seeing. So yeah, there's definitely some challenges across the, you know, sector. A lot of it has to do with COVID and all the challenges that has caused. But companies are doing the best that they can with what they have.
Robert, just another quick question. Have you heard any chatter about, A, the financing window? That was a massive financing window. It's not closed, but we're definitely seeing generally less financings underway. We do still have a lot of companies that are cashed up, but that cash is getting burned through. And also M&A. I know some of the bullish commentators were saying, ooh, this conference really could spur some M&A as people get more face-to-face. Do you think that's going to happen? Your takeaway from both of those, please.
I don't know about the financing. I know that there are a couple of companies I met with that are probably going to have to finance, but that, you know, by the end of the year, didn't really get into, you know, details on that. And obviously they would only tell me so much anyway. I would say what you said is probably spot on. And then about mergers and acquisitions. I mean, I did speak with one CEO of a pretty large miner, gold miner, that has mines, you know, across the Americas. And I asked him about the M&A and, you know, his answer was, yeah, it hasn't really started yet, but it's got to happen. He's like, it's just absolutely got to happen, or there's really not going to be a choice. And maybe it's going to take another year, but it's not a matter of, you know, if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And that seems to be the main, sentiment around that topic.
Yeah, Robert, hopefully some of the seeds are at least being planted and some of those discussions are at least maybe kicking off at this, and we'll watch afterwards to see what kind of news flow comes out of some of the mining companies. Just pivoting over to the metals, though, be curious to get your technical outlook on gold or just your general outlook on what you think's happening with the price action. We've been hugging this $1,800 level for quite some time. We've had little bursts above it, little bursts below it. What do you think the trend is going to eventually do when it breaks one way or the other?
It's interesting. I wrote a blog on CO.ca on Monday, basically saying that September is shaping up to be a really big month for gold. And I had a generally optimistic tone in the blog. And I haven't changed my view, but I also noted that I expected volatility. I expected this not to be, you know, sort of a straight up to, you know, 1900 sort of move. And obviously the 1840 level is a big level for gold that it's run into a few times now in the last 5 to 6 weeks, and it hasn't been able to move through it. But also gold has been well supported on dips. I think that the 1780s is a big area, and so far that's holding up. This week we're down about 2% for the week in gold. Not a pretty candlestick, not a great week for sure. But I think it's just going, it serves to lower the optimistic sentiment. It serves to build that wall of worry that, you know, we need to have. Gold had been up 4 weeks in a row. So this is a pullback week. It doesn't feel good. It feels like there's no interest in the metal at all. It feels like anytime it goes above 1800, they just sell it right back down. It's aimless. I mean, really, like, that's the best way to talk about the gold charts, the gold trading right now. It's aimless. It doesn't feel like it has any energy. And really, the way I would, explain why it isn't happening, I think there's a lot of, you know, concern that the Fed is going to taper sooner than later. And until there's more clarity around the Fed's course of action, what the taper is going to actually, look like, we might just be stuck around this 1780 to 1830 ping pong. You know, there's going to be a resolution at some point, but it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, you know, in the next few days. It feels like we're probably going to have to bore the market to death a little more, build that wall of worry a little higher, and then we'll see if we can finally break out through the 1840 level. And I think that is a really important level. I think that if gold did have a weekly close above 1840, I think it would serve to re-energize things a bit.
So, Robert, an ongoing question that I need to ask you because of the action this week again is the underperformance in the gold shares. The gold shares have really led gold lower. Even though gold is held up better than the shares, it's not a good sign to continue to see shares selling off. GDX this week, as we're chatting, down almost 5%. And even more importantly, it is not far off of some of those recent lows back in August and back in March of this year. Those lows timed perfectly with gold when it was down at 1675. What do you think the shares are telling us? Do we need to be concerned still that these shares are continuing to underperform?
That's a great question. I think the gold miners are priced for 1600 gold at this point. Certainly they're not priced for even a penny above 1700. So we're already priced in for another $100 of downside minimum in my estimation. And if you look at some of the companies out there, especially some of the, you know, mid tiers, I mean, man, they are so cheap here. The only way they would not be cheap is if gold really fell under 1600. So, I think what the shares are telling you is that people really think that the taper is going to happen, that real rates are going to rise, and that gold is going to drop. I think it's really as simple as that. So if that does not actually take place, if the Fed does not taper very soon, if real rates do not really rise, you know, appreciably, then I think there's a lot of upside. But, you know, the same comment I made about gold, I'll say about gold miners. I think there's this fear of the taper and rising interest rates that is going to put a damper on gold and silver.
Fair enough. Hey, Robert, good chatting with you as always, buddy. Thanks for taking some time away from the conference. We'll let you get back to it. And that also wraps up our weekend show. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please be sure to go back and listen to a lot of those company updates that we recorded throughout this week. Because, again, there is a lot of news coming out into the sector. And even though we're not seeing big pops in share price, it's still important to understand what some of these companies, especially ones in your portfolio or on your watch list, are doing to continue to move their assets forward. Robert, everyone else, thank you for your time this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.